Bill was a taxpayer. However, his wife, Suzanne, was not. He had savings of £20,000. Suzanne had none. Bill wanted an income from his capital investment that would produce an income for both of them. After due consideration with Lauren, their financial advisor, they both decided that a back-to-back annuity-funded investment scheme was appropriate. Now, how do you think they went about creating the environment in which Suzanne received the income, and therefore paid no income tax, and yet Bill had the benefit at the end of the 10 years when he would get his capital back? Bill did not want to make an outright gift. So the consideration for you is, how could Bill give away the capital for 10 years yet retain title to the money at the end of that period? Just get a bit of paper and jot down a few notes and think about that for a while. See you in a minute. How did you get on? You may recall that Richard the Lionheart had a similar set of circumstances to resolve with regard to Maid Marian. Richard had to give Marian the land that he wanted her to receive the income from. So that situation was very similar. How then was Bill's objective achieved? Well, Bill did give the money that he wanted to invest to his wife. He had to make that gift unconditionally. He had no choice if he wanted the income to arise in her name. However, the gift was made conditional to a trust that was created for the purpose. Bill and Suzanne were trustees, together with a professional trustee. Suzanne purchased an annuity, more specifically a temporary life annuity payable for 9 years with Bill's money. The income from that annuity was paid to Suzanne. All of the income was attributed to her for tax purposes. A part of the income was siphoned off each month to pay premiums to an endowment assurance. The same principle that applied to Paula in our last case study was applied here. This plan comprised a term insurance, which was subject to a trust, and an endowment element, which would normally be payable to the life assured at the policy's maturity date 10 years from inception of the contract. It was a pure endowment. In the normal back-to-back arrangement, the life assured is the same as the annuitant because that creates the package. The benefit of the package is that it is cost-effective. To write an annuity and the endowment independently would have reduced the income available to Suzanne. On this occasion, the two constituent parts of the endowment assurance, the term insurance and the pure endowment, had, in effect, one objective for the trust to provide. In the event of Suzanne's death, the sum assured, in other words the capital, would be paid to Bill. In the event of Bill predeceasing Suzanne, then the proceeds of the policy would be hers. Now that's probably as one would expect. The central point of this trust was to place the endowment proceeds back into Bill's hands at the end of the 10 years. Having given the capital away to enable his wife to invest in an annuity to produce income, Bill was able to recreate his capital, give or take a little, at the maturity date of the scheme. The policy wording was created under a Married Women's Property Act trust, and went along the lines of, the policy monies shall be payable to myself and William A. Greaves of Montpellier, da-di-da. The policy shall be issued to and held by the trustees upon trust for the benefit of my husband, William Greaves. Death was not to be the problem that arose with this particular trust. As certain as anyone can be.